Hello, Rotato. So I realized something. There are people who have probably come to this feed and probably don't know why the episodes are in part one, part two, and why in every episode I talk to you for a bit and then say, take it away, pass me. And then I kind of realized that's actually an additional benefit to the Patreon that I sometimes talk about, which is that on the Patreon, you don't have to listen to me intro the show. Well, actually, you do have to listen to me intro the show. You don't have to listen to me intro the show twice. So if that is irritating to you, that I introduce the shows twice, then you can skip that two intros by going to the Patreon for as little as $5 a month, and you get up-to-date episodes, ad-free episodes, and not me talking to you twice and about the Patreon all the time. Does mean you occasionally miss an episode introduction where I talk about our endless gratitude for you, the community. But that doesn't mean I feel it any less. And to be honest, I probably tell you a little bit more over on the Patreon than I do over here. Just thought maybe that's a little bonus if you're sick and tired of listening to me talk so many times about all of these things, because it must be irritating and annoying. So there we are. Thank you so much for being here, for supporting the show. I hope that this final episode of the arc is as much of a thrilling ride for you as it was for us to record, because boy oh boy, wasn't it just the wildest time. What was Tundra thinking? Who knows? Let's find out. Take it away, past me.
Okay, Shaddy, I don't want to put too fine a point on this.
Yeah.
But for the sake of, well, your brother, can you please roll me a d20 for Yernal Turlet?
A nat 20.
So, I'm going to need Shaddy and Ollie to roll me a d10, please.
Uh-oh.
I rolled a 10.
I rolled a 6.
Tundra, I'm going to need you to roll me a D100, please.
Here I go.
Oh, actually, no. Sorry. We'll get you to roll me a D10, and then, John, can you roll me a D10?
I got a 7.
I got a 9.
Okay. We're going to start with Shaddy. Your eyes blink open, and you find yourself looking at a swirling vortex of beautiful green, red, blue, stunning stars in an endless void, as you suddenly realize that you're not just hearing that in your head, you're hearing what sounds like over a speaker? No, through a window, you can hear this soft voice emanating out of it. As you look up, and there's this strange building, very ramshackled looking, with antennas and dishes all over it, floating on a tiny, what appears to be a comet that is probably the size of a house. And it's got almost another house kind of sticking out of it. And it is barreling and sort of tumbling through space, but it seems to have its own gravitational center, as you can hear inside
Deep Space Dial.
What is up, everybody? Voxfinity coming to you live from the station out here in the stars. And hold on a second. And he kind of stops. What the hell? And looks down. There's another flash as Ollie, you appear now, as you look up at everyone's favorite radio show host, Vox Vinny, as you find yourself floating through the nebula, having seemingly landed on Vox Vinny's radio station.
I just... Where am I?
How did you guys get here? Are you okay?
Who are you, man? Who are you?
Wait a second. Are you Ollie and... Shaddy?
What?
I've been talking about you guys for days. You guys are on some crazy stuff. This is awesome, guys. This is cool.
Are you a spy?
Me? No, I'm a radio show host, dude. But I've been getting...
Longsword out.
No, wait. You got the wrong end of the stick. Don't worry, my friend. You're all good.
How do you know who we are?
I hear things. I got connections. You see, when you're a radio show host and you got to know what's going on, well, you got to, you got resources. You got to pull on them sometimes.
This broadcasts?
I've been following you ever since you've been to Giantsbane. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, hey, don't worry. I always change names for anonymity. I know that you got that whole parole officer thing. Don't worry about it. I got you covered.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, man. Where are we?
In the middle of the nebula. I actually don't know where we are because we're also rotating around the Vega, so it's pretty hard to get a beat on where we are at any one time.
I'm with Shaddy, right?
Yep. Anything you want to do? You reckon you got about 6 seconds.
Oh, man, shut up, man!
What's that? You want me to stop talking? Well, it's pretty hard. People have been trying for a long time to get me to shut up. But anyway, I've been saying to those people that he's just kind of rambling along to himself.
I go to Shaddy, I'm like, are you okay? Where's the...
Shaddy's just like staring out into the space, like standing outside, just like staring up, completely mesmerized by like everything around him. And he like snaps back into it. He's like, is he here? Where's Saltfather? Urinal? Is it where?
There's no time, Shaddy. Look, Tundra betrayed us. The Saltfather's gonna kill us. We just gotta make sure I think we gotta kill that guy, the Saltfather.
How do we feel? Hey, I'm almost dead already. He almost killed my brother. He's gonna kill everyone. How do we do it?
Not for long, buddy. Here, just stay here. This is what I'm good at. Shiny, you can help too.
I'm gonna use an expenditure of my healer's kit to allow him to re-roll a hit dice, or to roll a hit dice. He can spend a hit dice now and add 3.
5.
So you get 8 hit points back from that, and then Shiny's gonna lean down and drop his once per long rest healing on you as well.
I will.
Thank you, Shiny. You're doing great, buddy. Really impressed with how you've kept your composure thus far.
This is much more chill than the last two places
we've been. I feel you. And you're gonna gain another 10 hit points back.
Great, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. 12, not 10, 12.
Ooh, I must say, Shadow, you're looking a little more shiny.
I try to, like, I go for a high five on Shiny, but he doesn't have, like...
Slap him in the face.
Yeah, I just gotta slap him on the neck. Like, and I'm like, I'm just like, and this is, like, a moment where, like, I sort of think Shaddy's, like, seeing Urinal getting absolutely destroyed by the Salt Father. He's thinking back to, like, how he killed his dad. He's thinking about everything, and he's like, I'm not gonna be scared anymore. I'm not gonna be sad. I'm gonna kill this guy. And I, like, look you in the eyes and, like, grab you by the shoulders, and I'm like, we have to kill this guy. Like, Shaddy turns into like a professional wrestler.
Damn right, Shaddy.
I'm gonna reach into my bag, uncork a bottle of holy water, and dump it all over Shaddy.
Get in close, my man. Let's go.
As you dump this bottle of holy water over Shaddy, there is a flash of white light, but not emitting from either of you two. As from round the corner of the building, you see a giant figure emerge.
This fucker.
Hey, listen, Ollie, something really weird is happening.
Rombi?
Yup.
You're huge, man!
As the white suddenly overtakes your view. We now cut to another scene that none of you are in. And we cut out of that scene.
What are you talking about?
No! Jasper! Oh, we don't get to see it?
You bastard!
You're insane!
Oh, no. Hey, listen, you guys are lucky. When I originally did the notes for this season 6 section, I was going to make you all take your headphones off if you weren't in the scene.
You're a monster.
So you count yourselves lucky, okay?
I'm pissed.
As we cut to a third scene. Tundra.
Yes?
You find yourself stood on the roof of a giant factory. Black smoke billows from several ports vents at the top of this factory. As you can see, being crafted out of molten metal, these semi kind of automaton-like creatures with someone working inside them, melding and smelting huge sections of a skyship together. Underneath you, you're kind of stood on this like grate, and you can see there is like a sort of a pattern that seems to happen as these like kind of black billowing smoke arises from each grate, and you can see one barreling down the ways towards you. There are 2 more flashes of white light from behind you, and as you lie on the ground, unable to move, bleeding out, you see standing over you is a strange-looking creature with a long, distended mouth and claws bleeding profusely from one side. Sort of on one knee, still looking. And you see it kind of clocks you. And there's a moment where Yernal thinks, this is the person that betrayed my brother. And the second flash, as Ember appears.
Fuck.
Fuck me. Fuck you. Fuck off. Fuck.
I shit you not.
Okay.
So, here's how this is going to go.
Oh, God.
I am going to roll right now because Ember is either going to take out the most immediate threat or she is going to follow the directive that she was given, which is to make sure that she was the last thing you ever saw. I would like you to tell me high or low.
Oh, oh Jasper, you bastard.
High, you gotta go high. I'm getting that feeling, Aaron. I'm getting that feeling.
But if I go high, then this is your revenge on me. And if it goes bad.
I don't know. I can't tell you my intentions. I'm telling you to go high. I'm just telling you my instinct is to tell you to go high.
You've done the double bluff.
Aaron, my instinct is to go high too because everyone else has been rolling for really low.
John?
And it feels like this is like the time where it'll switch. But do whatever you feel.
And John, I think I met you in like 2019.
Yeah.
At this point, I've known you for a percentage of my life and you wouldn't lead me astray, right?
I am not trying to. No, I want, because I want to redeem you. I don't want to end this arc with.
You don't know me from Adam.
We met 5 minutes ago.
Your name could be Adam and I don't even know.
I want Tundra to eventually be a hero. I want Tundra to survive. And I would pick high if I were you, is what I would say.
Right, my instinct was low, but
No.
I'm gonna go high.
Oh God, I hate this.
I hate this so much. I hate this so much.
Here we go. So you've gone high?
Yes.
Okay. That means That means
oh God, if this is die.
If this
I
is a 10
die.
Or higher.
My heart is like legitimately racing. I'm like legitimately.
This is a 10 or higher. Ember is going to swing for Yernal. Are we ready? Here we go.
I can't see it.
Is it a 20? It's a nat 20, as high as it could go.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Ooh, oh boy.
God.
That is
oh
a,
my God. Oh my God.
That
oh
is a natural. God. 20.
What did I tell you? As high as it could go.
Oh my God.
I had
God.
That feeling. Last time I had that, it was a 1.
We're going to have to release the video of that moment. That was crazy.
I just throw up down my chest. You guys, oh my God. You guys, I was going to go low if you hadn't said anything, and I betrayed you, and then you saved my life. This is the worst. This is the worst. This is the worst.
Overwhelming guilt.
Ember grabs hold of Yernal's almost like mane at this point and drags his head so that he kind of looks down at you now with almost completely like dog-like eyes. You see they filled with tears and Yernal goes through this bloodied maw.
Oh, please protect my brother. He deserves so much more than this.
As a knife gets drawn across Yernal's throat and he begins to bleed. You can hear it sizzling as it hits the grate.
Tundra grabs his hand so he doesn't have to die alone.
And as you grab his hand and his lifeless head lands next to yours, staring into your eyes, you have a moment of knowing that you brought him at least some slight comfort in these last moments.
This is devastating.
This is the most uncomfortable I've ever been playing D&D or doing improv or being on Zoom or...
or being on Zoom. And I've been laid off on Zoom, yeah. Let me tell you.
I got some bad news on Zoom. Trust
I would
me.
Take getting fired over and over again over this.
Ugh.
Oh.
And It is your turn, Tundra, which means I need a death saving throw from you.
I don't even get a little break.
Nope.
Can I get a little break, please?
Can I have a little break? I need
Can I have a little break?
Orange slices and a Capri Sun, and then...
You had a break. We took like 2 weeks to record this episode.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah, no, truly it wasn't enough.
I keep rolling so high, 17.
Nice. Nice, you're so close to back alive.
Okay. So, these flashes of white light appear as you all appear back in the room, but not all of you. As it appears, there is one missing. Shadi, Yernal is nowhere to be seen. And to make matters worse, you look through the glass, Shadi and Ollie, of this door. Tundra, you lie at the foot of Ember and the Salt Father as the Salt Father brandishes the Void Bomb in his hand.
Oh, that's such a huge bummer.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will give you one chance to lay down your arms and join me. And you all will live to see another day. But know, this is your last chance. If you do not take me up on this offer, all that awaits you is oblivion. What would everyone like to do?
Is he on the other side of a door?
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the other side of the door.
I look at Shadi and I go, just trust me, man. We got this. And I take my longsword and I place it on the ground.
Oh.
George, I'm going to ask you to roll me persuasion or deception, and you don't have to announce which one it is.
Okay.
I kind of see Ollie doing that, and then I look across and I see Tundra's body prone on the ground.
Yeah, Tundra looks fully dead. It was like she's bamped back twice now, and she's just been laid on the ground in the same position both times. So she looks fully dead to you guys.
And so I do the same thing. I lay down my axe.
I have a question. I rolled so bad. If I dismiss Shiny, can I roll with advantage as a symbol of my true acquiescence?
Well, it's funny that you should ask.
Interesting.
Because you, as you bamf back, you feel that presence that you just made a connection with. As you hear in your mind,
hey, some things are starting to come back to me, and I really don't want you to die here. This might be a little bit uncomfortable, but I think I can help.
Rombi, at this point, I'll take anything you got. I owe you, man.
Okay, let's do this.
And as you accept this, Ollie, you see this shard floats out of your pocket as you put the sword down, floats out of your pocket, and as the light of the sun starts to reflect through the shard, you watch as Ollie disappears. Ollie, you're still in the room, but you look at your own hands, you are completely invisible.
Hell yeah. Okay. Is this invisibility or is this like greater invisibility?
This is greater invisibility.
Then I can do whatever the fuck I want. Let's go! All right. I picked the sword back up. I mean, let's fucking go, right? I lean down still holding the sword and I disappear and I keep holding the sword.
Yeah. That was one of the best reactions I've ever had.
Let's go.
Fuck yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Greater invisibility. I don't ruin this invisibility. Invisibly, as a free action, my wings pop out. My wings made out of light, which are now just like a sheer invisibility. And I'm going to whisper to Shadi, kneel down, get him out here.
And I think Shadi doesn't know what's happening. He can't hear Rombi.
Mm-hmm.
He did like Ollie disappears, so he assumes the Salt Father, who has shown him fake visions of other people, he assumes that there's maybe some kind of like weird magic thing that happened and doesn't piece it together. But hears Ollie's voice and it's just like really conflicted and doesn't know what to do. So he just kind of goes with his instinct, which is to just kind of kneel down because he was told that he can trust Ollie in this moment. So he does.
Okay.
Puts down the axe.
You put down the axe.
Kneels in front of the Salt Father.
The Salt Father steps forward. He kind of looks down to you, Shaddy. Looks back at Ember. Looks back at Tundra, sorry, and says,
"Well, I guess she's already given up."
Leans forward, buzzes a card on the doors, looks at the Void Bomb, and goes,
"One more trip around the sun, it seems."
As there is a flash of white light. Listen, the Soulfather's many things, but is he a tech genius? No. Cool. I'm going to need D20 rolls. No one cut their tethers. Is that correct?
No, right?
No.
Do I have any sense of what would get me on the Salt Father? Would cutting my tether give me a better chance of that? If not, I'll keep where I'm at if I don't have any sense.
It would increase the likelihood, yes.
Then I'll cut my tether.
Okay. So I'm going to need, in which case... Oh, shit. I've just realized what that means. Okay.
Oh, no.
I'm going to need a roll, a D20 roll, please, from Ollie, from Shaddy, and that's all.
Oh, okay.
Nat 20. Holy shit.
I rolled an 18.
Tundra, why don't you go ahead and do one for me? Just to see what happens. Let's see what happens.
12.
Well, shit. Oh, fuck. Shaddy and Ollie, go ahead and roll me a D10.
7.
7 as well.
Okay. Erin, can you roll me a D10, please?
I rolled a 2.
We've got 2 scenes. Do we want to go to Tundra first, or do we want to go to Ollie and Shaddy first?
Ollie and Shaddy.
The resignation in the voice. Wow.
Yeah, sure.
Ollie and Shaddy, you blink and open your eyes, and you find yourself colder than you've ever felt before in your entire life. You find, as you open your mouth, there is nothing coming in. You try to fill your lungs, and there is simply no air. As you look across, and you see the habitable nebula some distance in front of you, as you are floating in the void of space. You cannot breathe, and you will die in 2 rounds. As a flash of white light appears, the Salt Father the bomb.
What the fuck?
Here's how this is going to work. We're going to roll initiative. Everything you do here is done with disadvantage. You literally cannot breathe. You are in the vacuum of space. You are being turned into a human popsicle as we speak. At this first point, you will drop to half of your current hit points at the end of your turn. And if you were to stay another round, you would drop to 0 hit points and there would be no death saving throws. You do, however, have the ability to propel yourself in one direction. You get like one shot, basically. We're going to roll initiative right now.
With disadvantage, still on initiative or no?
Everyone's rolling with disadvantage. The Salt Father as well is also rolling with disadvantage. This is just the rules of space.
7.
Okay, the Salt Father rolled a natural 20, but that's okay because it's disadvantage. 5. Plus 5 to 10.
Shaddy rolled a 3 and a nat 1.
Okay, so the order is going to go Ollie, Salt Father, Shaddy.
I go first? I got a 7.
Oh, you got a 7 total?
Yeah, 7 total.
I see. The Salt Father's going to go first. God,
we're fucked. We're so fucked.
He's also going to drop to half hit points, though, after his turn?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good.
Huge.
Yeah, that's what we want. I think that's ideal.
Huge.
That is really, honestly, huge. Yeah, because trust me, he's losing a lot more fucking hit points than you guys are. But he is going to propel himself in a direction. Shaddy, high or low?
High.
That is a 2. So he's coming for you, Shetty.
That one.
Or nat 20.
That one.
Guys, I promise you, I'm going to take my camera off of the fucking thing, and I'm not going to touch anything. I just rolled 2 attacks for the Salt Father. Fuck you!
Oh, they're both 20s. Unbelievable.
I shit you not. I just rolled 2
natural 20s.
20s.
No!
What are the fucking chances?
That is fucking crazy.
Don't forget, he's covered in holy water.
2 natural 20s on Shani.
That is a 1 in 400 chance, by the way, that happens. So, just so everyone's on the same page, keep going.
You guys saw that, right? I didn't move a single thing.
Couldn't have been more legit. I'm so devastated.
It's been nice knowing y'all.
It's like slow-mo, invisible. Ollie's going like, no!
And in space, no one can hear you scream, Ollie.
Yeah, ugh.
Oh, my God. So this is going to be... Jesus Christ. This is a very serious question. What is your max HP?
65.
This is where that healing I did to you is maybe going to come in big handy.
Yeah. Big handy. And what is your current hit points?
43.
With his modifiers, he does 95 points of damage. As you watch, as he bursts out, crucially, leaving the void bomb behind. Bursts out in the direction of Shadi. He brings his scythe up. He brings it down. And he brings it down. And almost effortlessly, it passes through one arm and through one leg. You see no blood seeps out as it immediately, almost like the stump freezes over. As you drop to 0 hit points, I would ask you if there's anything that you say, but no one would hear it anyway.
Jesus!
Ollie. It's your go.
I know I could spare the dying Ollie right now, and it would maybe not help, so I'm holding that. I launch for the bomb.
Okay.
And as I grab it, I'm going to, with everything I've got, unleash a blast of radiance from my mouth in a 30-foot line to catch the bomb and the Salt Father in the blast.
You are going to catch Shadi in this blast.
If I can get at any kind of angle here or let myself float to the edge of this 30 feet... Also, if I can't get 30 feet away, I can alter the shape into a 15-foot cone.
Go ahead, roll me a straight luck check. Straight D20.
It's an 8.
You're going to hit him. If you want to do this, you're going to hit him.
Then that's what needs to happen. I'm going to unleash it. It is not an attack roll. It is a dex saving throw. And I assume he's got disadvantage.
Yeah, I'm going to say he fails. I'm going to say that they auto fail. So basically, when I say that you can burst in one direction, that's essentially like the movement that you had before you appeared, propelling you in a direction. So there's no way of stopping or slowing down, right? It's just like, that's the direction you're going in.
Yeah. I think I'm going to concentrate. Like they're all going to get caught on this blast. Okay, then fuck it. Then if he's floating in space, dying, then I'm not going to attack the Salt Father. I'm going to focus everything I've got on the bomb.
Radiant Breath on the bomb.
Radiant Breath on the bomb, and then I'm going to follow up with a Radiant Attack on the bomb, if that doesn't do anything. So I'm going to blow 3 points of damage onto the bomb. 3 points of Radiant damage. Does anything happen?
There is a burst of brilliant white light. As your radiant energy connects with this bomb. I'm going to need a death saving throw from Tundra and from Shadi. Tundra, you're on 2 successes. Shadi, you're on 2 failures.
18.
I don't want to roll.
Tundra, you are stabilized.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I rolled 16.
Oh! Okay. Okay.
Okay. Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
We cut over to Tundra as you find yourself in a small room. It is a... And I'm going slightly off of my written piece here, but it feels so wild to me that Tundra and Ember have rolled like the same rolls like so often.
Soulmates.
You find yourself, Tundra, in a tavern room, lying on a bed in front of a warm hearth fire. Ember stands in front of you and you realize that this is the tavern. This is the exact room where you saw this thing appear and kill Ember in front of you. You're back in that very room. And Ember slowly takes out the chain with the dagger on the end and walks towards you. And Erin, I'm going to ask you to make a wisdom saving throw on Ember's behalf.
14.
You watch as this chain begins to swing. Woof. 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 And then drops to the ground. As Ember falls to her knees, tears streaming down her face. And you just hear her sobbing and just saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not a big deal. It's okay. You're okay.
I left you.
No, you know, no. That's not what happened. You're totally fine.
I did. I wasn't strong enough and I left you. And we promised that we wouldn't leave each other in this fucking scary world.
No, you do what you have to do. All alone. I totally get it. You're okay. It's okay.
I miss you. So much.
Tundra nods and smiles and then puts like a tendril of Ember's hair behind her ear.
Ember, in a sort of looking around, she doesn't know medicine, she doesn't know healing. She just gently rests her head on your chest as there is a flash of white light. As this flash of white light erupts, Tundra, you find yourself on the deck of a ship in this engine room, and there is no more flashes of light. Everything is calm and still. The only thing that remains of your friends are a few pools of blood that can be found on the ground. What would you like to do?
And I'm alone?
Completely alone.
And there's no indication of how I can help them or find them?
Nope.
Can Tundra use her blood and like write a note on the ground?
Yeah. What would you like it to say?
Boys, comma. I'm so sorry. I love you. Go get him. And then I think Tundra's going to let herself go.
Tundra, as you go to sort of this breath starts to leave your body and you feel yourself kind of relax and maybe find a sense of peace, suddenly there is a commotion. It's busy. It's hot. There are hands and feet and rushing, and suddenly the sound of metal clanking and wheels. As you, your consciousness slowly drifts out. But there was someone there in that room. As several days, weeks, months later, Tundra, you open your eyes. You find yourself aboard the Shadesmar in the medical bay. And whether against your will or not, you have been patched up. You see a doctor rushes in. Ah, good. You're awake. Hey.
No, 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 no.
It's okay. Hey, listen. I think you've been through a lot. I understand.
Tundra's going to be pulling anything that's hooking her up to stuff, and she's going to go look for them.
Whoa, whoa, hey, please, please, please. Hey, stop, stop, stop. And he goes over to the side of the wall and, like, sort of grabs, there's like a floating little red orb. He grabs hold of it and it starts to vibrate, and you see the room suddenly floods with light, and all these other kind of like practitioners kind of come in and like grab hold and pin you down. And he kind of leans in and goes, I understand that a lot's happened.
Where are they?
There's a lot of people dealing with a lot of trauma right now.
Where are they?
Who? Who? Where is who? Half the ship disappeared. And everyone else that's back here and is still alive has claimed to see all kinds of weird and strange and wonderful things.
Are they alive? Are they here? My friends, are they here?
I don't know who your friends are. I'm so sorry.
Can Tundra push past them? Use all of her strength to try to go and look for them?
You are incredibly weak, but you absolutely limp out, like, off this gurney, and you sort of limp down the hallway.
Ollie. Shadi.
Go ahead and roll me an investigation check.
9.
You search for a while. I think the doctors kind of eventually kind of refrained from trying to restrain you as they realize that even in your weakened state, you're still so much stronger than they are. And you search and search and search through this giant city-like ship and find nothing. Until eventually, you do see something. On a TV screen, a little ways, sort of built into the side, this monitor, there appears to be some sort of press conference happening. As you see Porcelina Turlet, and the news headline says Shadesmar struck by magical anomaly. And you hear as she says, it is devastating. What has happened to those aboard, and what we have learned is that the nebula is a dangerous place. And we must do more to protect its movements. For so many of us have lost people. So many of us will never be able to reconcile this awful day. But the Turlet family is putting aside a huge sum to find those that have been lost in the anomaly and to bring them home. And you see that she breaks down in tears as, walking in from the side, you see Miralu Turlet, Shadi's father, gives her a hug and consoles her and dabs the tears from her eyes. And hopefully they can find my son. I thought that I had lost Yernal Turlet. I am so grateful to have at least brought one home. And she gestures back, and stepping from the back of the stage, you see
no
Shadrach Turlet, all buttoned up and wearing a Turlet Industries uniform. Smile, does a big, broad smile down the barrel of the camera. And we're going to zoom out of the scene, and I'm going to very quickly ask John and Erin one final time in this arc to remove their headphones.
Jasper, you bastard.
I'm sweating from everything. Fuck. I can't hear you, but fuck whatever you're talking about. Fuck this.
As you blast the void bomb, as Ollie lets out everything he has, you hear from inside your pocket, "There is no fucking way I'm going to let this be the way that you go out!" As emerging from the center of the void bomb, this huge body flies at you and seems to wrap itself around you, almost cocooning you completely. Sometime later, you find yourself lying on a strange, cold, uncomfortable shoreline. Water laps at your feet and you stare up at the stars. You, Ollie, look to your side and you see that shard lying on the ground. But it no longer looks the same shape. Now has taken on the shape of a sword, or at least the hilt of a sword. As you pick it up, assuming that you pick it up.
Oh, I definitely do.
As you pick it up, this strange purplish energy extends out of the sword. As you hear in your head,
"I'm really sorry. I didn't have a choice. It was either that or you were going to die."
"Where am I? What's going on?"
"I figured something out. I am part of this void. Wherever I am, it is that place. And you see, the light that you have, it cannot exist in the expanse of space. The only thing that exists in the expanse of space is the void. So I replaced the light in you with that."
And Ollie, you're whole, but you feel, physically feel, like there is a hole inside of you. You don't feel a pulse. You don't feel a heartbeat. You just feel empty.
I try to breathe radiant light into the air.
As you breathe out, you look as this purplish energy extends out of your mouth, and as it seems to touch the water and the sand below, it's almost like it just erases them from existence.
Oh no!
"What did you do to me?"
"I am sorry. It was the only way that you could survive this."
"I'm not alive! What did you do to me, Rombi?"
"Your friends, they still need you. You are scattered, but you have saved a lot of people, and I may have replaced the light in you, but I know that you still have a lot of good to do in this world. And I felt bad that my actions might have led you to an untimely demise."
Ollie does one more thing where he takes the sword and he picks it up, and normally when he activates his channel divinity, he can turn the weapon into pure radiance.
Mm-hmm.
When he picks that sword up, he taps into that same feeling, but I assume taps into the emptiness within him. What happens to the sword?
The sort of purplish energy around it seems to glow that little bit brighter. As this sword, whatever it is, possesses no light whatsoever, not much of anything. Though it does feel incredibly powerful. And as you stand on this beach, coming to terms with your new reality, you do hear from behind you,
"It ain't that bad."
I whip around. Who is it? Oh, God.
You turn around. Ollie Flash, staring back at you. But he has no eyes.
What the fuck?
His head cocked to one side. And that is where we're going to go ahead and end this arc of the rotating universe.
Oh, no!
You're making crazy faces.
We just ended this arc of the Rotating Heroes podcast, everybody.
Hey, wait, no, 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 no.
What are you talking
about? What do you mean?
What happened?
Why can't we hear it?
Oh.
What just happened?
That's very bad.
What do you mean? How can it get any worse? It's over.
Oh, God.
What happened? Can we know?
What can't we know?
Well, it might have ramifications, okay? It might be important. Who knows? It might be important, guys.
I don't even get to know how the arc ends. That's insane. That's an insane thing.
It ends with you watching that screen and seeing Miralu and Shadi walk out on stage. I should say Shadi as well. You know, you're on stage. You're chilling with your family, having a great time.
Wow. Yeah, I know why. Fuck.
I know why, and I'm so scared.
Well, I want to know.
Holy smokes. See, now, the problem is, folks, is that the way this has ended, I think we're going to have you guys back, right? I think we're going to have you guys back. I think that would be...
I don't know if my body can handle the stress of this.
Seriously. Holy shit. That... Jasper?
What am I now, Jasper?
What do you mean,
what am I?
What does that mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. I will say this. You did save a lot of people.
That's good to know.
So, you know, bear that in mind. That's good. You saved a shit ton of people. Like, literally the ship, this is a ship filled with 50,000 odd people. Like, all of those people would have been died, enslaved, or turned into vampires. So, you did a good job. And most of the people have disappeared in the same way that you guys did. It's just, they disappeared, and then when whatever happened with the bomb, we don't know, who could know, maybe George, only George, have now awoken in spaces, like, they've stayed in whatever space that they bamfed to.
Oh my God.
Wait, what?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. I just figured out.
Wait, tell me.
What I am.
What? Just say it.
Oh, we gotta know. I can't.
I'm totally fine. We can just absolutely rock into a little bit of Ark-Bark right now if you wanna. If you wanna shout some theories and tell them what happened.
Am I allowed to say what I think is happening?
Yeah, yes.
You're so fine to tell them what happened. Go for it.
Well, I'm going to listen to the episode anyway, so I'm going to know everything. But
Yeah. He's going to find out anyway.
Is the void bomb in me now? Is that what happened?
Are you fucking kidding me?
The fragment of the void that was fueling that bomb is now inside in you.
That's what the center is now. Oh, no. And the fragment. So the fragment of the... Oh, my God. So the other has one too? Oh, man.
Yep.
Wait, the other what?
The other what?
The other what?
That I think I'm not saying anything about anything else.
Are there two of you?
John, you know. You listened to the Rewritten Heroes episode.
If it's from the Rewritten Heroes, okay, then I know. Oh, come on.
That's who turned up at the end.
What is happening? I'm going to get a nosebleed.
I turned around and that's who's behind me.
Is there two of you?
I think if I had to hazard a guess, I bet you there's more than two is sort of what I'm gathering.
Okay. Okay.
Not a bad guess.
I think I am Legion and it's not good, gang. It's bad.
But you're the good one. You're the good Ollie.
I don't know if that's true anymore.
Wait, what? Oh, man.
Oh, no, dude. I think I'm about to become like a Doctor Strange multiverse bullshit. And I think I am now. Oh, no. Well,
I'm so excited for future arcs. Like, I think the way this has ended is like so fucking epic. The way this has ended, by the way, Aaron, huge shout. This was so Rogue One.
Yeah.
Like, you literally went out saving, like, 50,000 odd people from absolute death and annihilation.
Here's what I think is happening. I think Aaron's in, like, a side verse. Like, a different reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those turlets are alive.
Well,
Well, what, John?
Can I say, Jasper?
You can't say it. No, you can't say anything.
You can't
say anything.
Why?
No, because if people want to know what John is referencing, then you need to check out the Rewritten Heroes episode that's dropping next week.
When we turn the mics off.
Okay.
Yeah, when we turn the mics off, we can absolutely fill these guys in. I'm not kidding. I'm genuinely not kidding. I think this has been the most epic and incredibly satisfying story. Every single beat of this story has felt like earned and true and exciting and terrifying. And I'm so glad, like genuinely wasn't the case. But the way that the dice shook out in where people bamfed and all that kind of stuff just meant that it wasn't like some fairy tale ending, right? There was absolutely no fairy tale ending.
No.
And I think that is like, again, so perfect. I think it would have felt wrong if we were all sat here right now and everyone had just like, you just like leaning on the head of the Salt Father, just being like, well, save the day. You know what I mean? Like, you absolutely did it in the fucking only way that Tundra and the Milk Snakes could.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you absolutely achieved the goal, but the way that the dice shook out then, that was nuts, guys. Ember and Tundra constantly getting paired together was crazy.
Yeah, just by chance. That's so crazy.
That's crazy.
Was it every round?
Well, except for the first one. The first one, I yeeted her into the lava.
So it was three rounds after that. I think it was two rounds, and then the final round, neither of them like broke the tether. But then, honestly, I genuinely was feeling pretty good about your chances because you kind of figured out the conceit of the challenge, right? Which was like, we need to get hold of the void bomb and essentially to like, in order to stop this. And so you can figure out the conceit of the challenge. And then the way the dice shook out, I think it was like Salt Father rolled an 11 and like bomb rolled a 10 or something like that. They were like right next to each other. And I was like,
yeesh.
Now that's a fucking game changer. Like, that's crazy. Like, the bad guy getting the MacGuffin right at the end was like, oh.
I was invisible, so he didn't factor me in.
Yeah.
So he left it in space. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was absolutely bananas and crazy. I'm so sorry, Aaron, that you spent half of the time on death saving throws and dying. I do apologize.
Oh, no. The honor is all mine. So fun. Loved that. Wish you had just let me die. Thank you for...
But again, that felt like the moment where you're like, I was like, I don't think that the universe just lets Tundra just
That's
go
the easy way out.
You know what
you're
I mean?
Right.
I'm like, I don't think Tundra just gets that way out. Like,
oh, and you're going to blame me for getting the easy way out?
No, 100%. I think it's
let me do the easy thing.
I think it would be totally fair but I think that's kind of almost what Tundra's been gunning for, right? For like
right.
a while. In that, like, if there was an easy way out for Tundra to just be like, I click my fingers and Ember gets to be safe and I'm gone or whatever, like, I'll do it.
I wonder
it.
If Ember's
do you know what I mean?
Alive. Oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was bananas, guys. That was fully bananas. Just real quick, we'll come back and do a proper arc bark. But like, any final thoughts, feelings, emotions? Having just that was epic shit, by the way.
What level am I now? Is my question.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk, George, because we got some bits
All
to
right.
figure out.
Okay.
I'll be honest, this was a passing. I do this thing in my head. I don't know if you do this, George, when you're GMing. Like, I'll run through like 100 scenarios in my head, being like, maybe, yeah, maybe, okay, they could do this, they could do that, that could happen. And like, one of the things was like, you know, what happens if X? And like, not exactly that scenario, but like pretty much that scenario had like come into my head and drifted out as quickly as it came, right? And then as soon as you were there, and it was kind of like what I was saying in the arc bug last week, I was like, oh, I know exactly how this ends. You know what I mean? Like, the second that you were like, I breath weapon the bomb, I was like, I know how this ends. And it, woof. You know what I mean? It was like, it was just immediately like coalesced and I knew, like, yes, this is it.
The last air in my lungs in space.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah. Oi, 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 oi. And it was all, again, so I just want to bring this up real quick. So basically the way this works is for everyone at home, you guys are rolling d20s, right? If you're untethered, you're rolling a d20. And if your numbers are close enough together, it's like within 3 or 5, depending. And basically I go in like front to back order or back to front, depending on the round. And I pair you in like groups, basically, depending on how closely you roll together. So that determines your group. And then I ask the pairs or the trios or whatever to roll. So if it's like 2 players, then I say roll a d10 each, and that forms a d100 roll, right? And so I was literally rolling, like all of these were getting rolled at like random.
Yeah.
Literally at random. Location-wise, complete random. And there is only, I think, 4. So I've assigned every location that I made, I assigned each of them a score out of 5 as to how dangerous they were. So it goes from like 1, which is like you land in like a meadow and it's just chill, right? And 5 is like almost like certain death. Like it's like so bad. But there's only 3 or 4, I think, 5s in this whole roll table.
Yeah.
We didn't hit a 5 at all.
Yeah.
Until the final roll where you, the fucking Salt Father, like you two and the Salt Father and the Void Bomb end up just in space. Not in the nebula, just in space, the vacuum of space. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you could have bamfed anywhere and the Salt Father could have just, like, killed you both, or, you know what I mean, or you got the jump on him, or what, and, like, who knows? But just appearing in space was nuts.
What a fun one, dude. Wow.
Man, Jasper, this was such a roller coaster, man. There was moments in this that I was like, I legit started crying when Ember and Tundra had their little moment in that room.
Oh, Aaron, that was beautiful, dude.
Aaron, oh my god, what a gift.
And then just
honestly,
like the tension in so many of those rolls, double nat 20s.
Oh,
I mean, just destroyed me.
Double
just
nat 20s. Yeah, that was so tough, man. Double nat 20s. And I couldn't even, like, that whole Aaron picking high or low.
And you guys picking for me? Oh!
And you guys convincing her to roll high, and then I rolled a nat 20? I mean, in... Insane.
Hey.
Like, insane.
This was such a blast. Really such a blast.
Yeah. But truly, yeah. I can't thank you guys enough, because this arc wouldn't have been anywhere near as cool if I didn't have this absolute A-team. Like, you guys absolutely fucking crushed it.
Thanks, buddy. This was a blast. You did an incredible job DMing this, man.
Yeah, this was so fun and so emotional and stressful and awesome. And you really rolled with the punches. Very grateful.
It was so sick. So thank you so much. So much. We'll jump back in and do like a proper arc book and everything in due course. But I mean, maybe we just, I don't know, maybe we just leave this in this episode. I don't know. I'm feeling generous. Let's just go for it. Let's do it. It's fine. But we'll come back and do a proper arc book, a little debrief. Stick around next week. We're going to have John's rewritten heroes.
Oh,
so
man.
The epicness continues.
Yeah, and let's just say, if you listen to the rewritten heroes, it's gonna be
eye-opening.
It'll add some flavor to what we just experienced.
That scares me. That doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, absolutely incredible, epic, incredible, amazing, wonderful. I love you guys so much. John Mackey, please tell everyone at home where they can find your stuff.
You can find me at It's John Mackey all over the internet, and you can find me in this arc of this podcast. This is the most important thing.
This one that you're listening to right now.
That you should listen to, that I'm involved in.
Go back and listen to it again.
Yeah, no. You can listen to my podcast, Brett DeMont Show with Buddy. You can find that anywhere you get podcasts. We also have a Patreon, and you can also get podcast from my group Big Grande at biggrandewebsite.com. All improv comedy stuff, please consume.
Hell yes. Consume.
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 Aaron Keefe, betrayer of men, survivor of the day, and lover of fine women. In this context, I guess. I don't know. Sort of went with that and then sort of had to bail. I don't want to make any statements. Aaron, Keith, what have you got going on?
I don't even know.
stuff?
Check out Quality Time on Instagram. It's a variety show I host in Los Angeles. If you're ever in LA, it's once a month. A different date, though, so you got to follow us to find out. And then check out Hey Riddle Riddle if you haven't before. It's a riddles and puzzles and lateral thinking podcast. Not as heavy or stressful as this, I hope. So check that out.
But also extremely funny, though, which is, you know, not like this show. This show is not funny. This show is very serious.
Very serious.
Extremely, extremely serious. I think the most silly this episode got was Mark appearing out of the elevator. For like, from that point, it was pretty much just like pretty serious after that. Wonderful. Go and check out all of Aaron's stuff. George, Prip, Mup, Vera.
Yo.
I guess you can do multiple plugs because we've got a couple of you. So you can do as many plugs as you want, right?
There are several of me now. Go check out Total Party Skill. We've got some amazing guests on there recently. We just talked to Spencer Stark and Rowan Hall, the creators of Daggerheart. We've got amazing guests coming up that feel not even real that I can't believe is happening.
Hell yeah.
So tune in to Total Party Skill. And then also if you're in Los Angeles or if you like watching stuff on a live stream, check out We're All Gonna Die with Dynasty Typewriter. We've got monthly shows coming up through December. We play a game called Dread, which is basically D&D but with a Jenga tower. Lots of fun. You can buy tickets. It's like 180 seat theater. It sells out very quickly. So go check out the online tickets if you're LA based. But if not, and you want to watch along with us, you can buy online tickets. And you can watch the show for up to 2 weeks after it airs. So that's a lot of
fun. That's so freaking dope. Nice. Absolutely incredible. Wow. Wow, guys.
Who
did it?
We did.
We made it to the end of the arc.
10 episodes of gold, folks. Hope you loved it.
Ching, ching. Ching, ching.
Ching, ching, ching.
Ching. We're all going to be fine. It's probably ching. Fine.
I dare say not the end of this. Hopefully not the end of the line for these guys.
Yippee-i-yo.
Thank you so much for everyone for listening, for enjoying this arc with us. We love you dearly, and make sure to check out the Arc Bark, check out John's Rewritten Heroes, which will be on the Champions of Zophine tier next week. And we will be back very soon with Arc 2 of the Rotating Heroes podcast, which I'm very, very excited about. And I think that's about it. Check out World's Lair. World's Lair is a new fantasy festival that's happening on the South Bank of London this August from the 26th to the 29th. We are going to have amazing performances from Rotating Heroes. We're doing our first live show. We've got Ox Venture. We've got Dark Dice. And we've also got a ton of stuff happening during the day. It's like literally like a little carnival. We've got workshops. There's a dragon. There's photo opportunities. You can dress up. There's giveaways. There's fantasy quizzes. There's panels. There's all
fancy
kinds.
Quizzes.
It's going to be a fantasy quizzes.
I thought you said fancy quizzes.
Fancy quizzes.
Yeah, well, there's a very fancy boy quiz.
There was some fancy quizzes.
This is a Malbec, or is it?
Or is it? come and check that out. Tickets are available. There'll be a link in the description below. Come and check it out. It'd be so amazing to see some Rotating Heroes family there for our first ever live show on Thursday, the 28th of August. Thank you so much to my incredible crew. We'll be back again for a Arc Park next week, but for one, at least for this, for now, one final time, a huge thank you to George Primavera, Aaron Keefe, and John Mackey!
Sorry!
We did it!
Yippee-i-yo!
Yippee-i-yo, baby!